Let's open up our Bibles to the 81st Psalm. Psalm 81. Just like we just were singing about, we have a friend in Jesus. And we've been spending many weeks now talking about, as a disciple, what it means and the foundation of that relationship with God as a disciple being communing with God, prayer. And we've been talking about it from the standpoint of, from our perspective, learning how to speak with Him and all the variety of ways that we can incorporate into our life to learn to commune and communicate with Him. But the Scripture also gives us another aspect of this whole relationship in prayer, and that it is not a one-sided conversation. That as much as we want and need to speak with God, God wants and needs to speak with us as well and communicate with us. So we're going to spend a couple of weeks now on the other side of this conversation on learning how to hear and to discern His voice. And in the 81st Psalm, beginning in verse 8, the Lord speaks to His people and it says, "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you." I will admonish you. I will speak to you. I'm going to bear witness. I'm going to share something with you, He's saying. O Israel, if you would listen to me, let there be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies. I would turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Those blessings would come all tied into one thing that He's asking His people to do, and that's listen to me. Now, when you tell someone to listen to you, inherent in that statement is that you're saying something to them. You're speaking with them. Every one of us, each and every day, we all face choices in life. And throughout our life, we're going to make a lot of decisions that we have to navigate through different sections and times and places on this journey. And one of the questions that all of us want to know is, does God care about the choices that we make? Does God care about the decisions that we make on a daily basis? Is He even interested in them? And does He care enough about these decisions and about this navigating through life? Does He care enough that He would speak to us about it? That He wants to talk with us in relationship to it? And can we really walk with God? And can we really hear His voice speaking to us? And the answer, obviously, as we'll see this morning from Scripture, is an absolute yes. God does care, and God does want to speak with us about the decisions that we make in our life. And He offers to speak to us not just off and on, or periodically, or at unique or special times in our lives, but daily in our lives. And learning to listen to God and to hear Him is just as foundational to being a disciple as it is learning how to speak with Him and communicate from our perspective. Now remember, when the disciples were with Jesus, and they were with Him for that 3.5 years, and they were traveling all over Israel, doing the things that He was doing, you were seeing what it was like to walk with God. And God, in the Son, through His Son, was speaking to them every day. And they were speaking with him every day. There was a two-way conversation going while they walked, while they sat around a campfire, when they ate breakfast, when they ate lunch, when they ate supper, before they went to sleep at night, when they woke up in the morning, in the events that they were experiencing, there was conversation and communication going on. And the thought of thinking that you and I have the ability, we have the opportunity to speak with, but also to hear from the most wonderful, good, kind, and loving being in the universe who knows everything about anything and everything, and knows about not just the past or the present, but also our future, and knows what is best for us along the way. Why would we not want to know that we could hear him and then learn how? If that's the case, and it is, he wants to communicate with us. When I was growing up, I never questioned that until I started hearing people in church, preachers predominantly, and theologians say, well, God doesn't speak like that anymore. He's given us a book now, and we don't need to hear God anymore because we've got the Bible. And that God doesn't talk like he used to talk to people, you know, in the scripture anymore. And there begin to be struggles. And so I begin to shut off. And then I begin to go to the Bible to look for answers for things that the Bible doesn't even address. Where do I live? Do I buy this house? Do I buy this car? Is it wise for me to invest my money in this? Who do I marry? Is it time for us to have children? Do I go to this church? I'm not going to find any of those kinds of those answers in here at all. And so I began to have a struggle and say, okay, if God is not addressing the majority of decisions that I have to make, and well, they say, well, God gives you principles to go by. Well, there are principles, and we'll see that as well, that he gives us in the scriptures that help us make decisions in life. But he also wants to speak and communicate with us about those things. I think I've shared this with you before. When we were pastoring in North Florida, one morning I used to go over to the facility and just stretch out on the floor, open my Bible up in the front of the church and pray. And I remember one morning as I was there and I was writing in my journal, and that happened to be going through the book of Corinthians at the time and reading through it. And I read a passage of scripture in the latter part of the letter that talked about God opening a door of opportunity for Paul. And just as clear as anything, there is as if someone was sitting right beside me inside of my heart, I heard this voice say, I am going to move you. And that was it. I came home, I wrote it down in my journal. And I came home and I told Denise, I said, God's going to move us. And she's like, well, where? I said, I don't know. I just know that I heard that just as clear as day. I'm going to move you. I left it alone periodically and I would ask God about it and I never got any answers. Then it happened about six months later, one of our deacons passed away and he had been, I think, one of the kind of the leaders in the church, and we had his funeral. The church was slam full, packed with people. And I preached his funeral, and we went over and you know, did the graveside and everything. And I was on my way back over to the parsonage, and a man came up to me, and he said, my name is Jerry, and he started telling me where he was from down in Central Florida. And he said, we're looking for a pastor, and we have been praying. And he said, could I come over and talk to you? And so I said, sure, you know, come on over. So he came on over, and of course, one thing led to another, and in 2 months, we were gone. I didn't know where God was going to lead us, and he led us into a very, very fruitful place. It was growing. God blessed it in a marvelous, marvelous way, and some of the best times of our lives as a family were in that fellowship. He didn't tell me when, I just knew. He said, I'm going to move you. And that was it. And sometimes that's what God does. And then you just sit back and let God do what God does to orchestrate situations and circumstances. You think, well, that's a big deal. When my girls were little and we lived out in Texas and I was working for the James Robinson's ministry out there at the time, I remember praying one day and just very, very quietly in my heart, the Lord said, I want you to start a tradition with your daughters. Take them on dates. I want you to start today. And so we got all the girls, you know, at that time it was Anna and Rebecca, and got them all dressed up, and I got dressed up, and we went out to a place, I think it was called the Black Eyed Pea, for a date. And we started a tradition then of me taking my girls out on dates. It became a very special time between daddy and daughter. Now, I know that God spoke to me to do that because I saw the fruit of that time with them. He cared enough about their life and my investment in their life and their investment in me as dad and what it would do for them later on. But there's also times when we're making decisions, and we'll see this as we look at it, when we in our hearts, we're making a decision and we already in our heart have already kind of made up our mind what we want. Even though we're going to God to ask Him about it, we kind of know what we really want. And so when we go to God to ask Him about it, we intend to hear Him say and give us what we want, rather than coming and being submissive and saying, what is your will? What is your best? And we've made those kinds of choices too in the past about moving from one place to another. Denise and I knelt down, and in my heart, this was something I wanted, and I wasn't really willing to submit in the standpoint because I could see all the benefits and all these kind of things of doing this. Well, we got down, prayed, and I asked Denise, what'd you hear? And it's like, well, I think we're supposed to move. And I said, yeah, we're supposed to move. So we did. And you know what? That God was not in that. Even though we learned some things from it, it was the most horrible several months of our life as a family. I mean, one bad thing after another kept happening to indicate to us, this is not my best for you. And we'll see that there's a key principle that when we're trying to hear from God about something, especially on big decisions, we've got to lay what we want aside sometimes and say, God, I desire this. This is what I think is right, but I don't want what I want. I want you to help me to want what you want. And I will go with what you're leading me to do. And just like in this passage of Scripture, God's telling Israel, if you would just listen to me, I will do things. There's not that every decision we make when we follow Him is always easy, or that it's not wrought with difficulty or hardship. Sometimes He speaks to us and He leads us into something that is wrought with difficulty and hardship, not because it's the bad, worst choice, but because we're being taught lessons, we're growing in it, and the enemy doesn't want God's best for us. And so he will attack and assault us as well, even when we're following the Lord in what we're doing. So what we need to do is we need to start with some basic assumptions on our part. And we all have assumptions about God communicating with us. And the first assumption is we have to go to the Scripture and we have to ask the question and come to a conclusion, and we'll find out that God has always communicated with His people. He has always done that. And we can see that revealed in the Bible. Remember, when God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and He came to walk with them in the cool of the day, do you think they just walked and just did nothing? That there wasn't any kind of communication going on? As I've told you before, how in the world do you think Adam learned how to do the things that he learned how to do? How to take care of that place? How to tend to it? How do you think he discovered those things? Someone had to instruct him. Someone had to communicate with him about that. There was communion and fellowship going on between Adam and Eve and God right back then. But God has always spoken to His people. So if you will go back to Genesis chapter 24. In the 24th chapter of Genesis, verse 7. I want you to notice what Abraham says about God communicating. Genesis 24:7, it says, "The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. And he goes on to describe what God said to him. But notice what Abraham said, how he spoke to me. He spoke to me. He talked with me. He communicated to me. Then jump over to Exodus chapter 6, if you will. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 13. Then the Lord, what? Spoke. The Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron and gave them a charge to the sons of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So God spoke to them. And then if you go over to the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus, chapter 11, or excuse me, 33, chapter 33, verse 11. And when Moses would go into the tent of meeting, notice it's what it was called. It was the tent of meeting. Meeting denotes two people getting together or more to communicate, to meet. And it says in verse 11, thus the Lord used to what? Speak. Some translations have talk with. Most to him, to Moses, face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. And then hop over to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. And again, lest we think that these are just, you know, the big decisions in life, the things God's communicating, His law and His commandments and His purpose for Abraham and then all that to Moses and Aaron. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Then it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord. Do you know what it means to inquire of the Lord? Ask a question. Saying, shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. So David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. Simple question. Lord, do I go up to one of the cities? Yeah, go. Which one do I go to? Go to Hebron. You can go through the Old Testament and you can find character after character after character after character after character after character after character, even after the law was written and given and all of those things, when God is speaking to people. He is communicating with them all throughout Scripture. He has always spoken to His people. And you see, God gives us these stories in the Bible to encourage us that He has always spoken to His people. That He has always communicated with them and shared things with them. Think about this. Why would God give us all these amazing stories of Him communicating with people simply to inspire us, but then say to us, well, that's really not for you. You can't have that. That was just for them. That's how I used to speak with people, but I don't do that anymore. What I've really given you is a book of exceptions. I used to do that, but sorry, I don't do that anymore. Too bad. Now, does that make logical sense? Not at all. I mean, what good would a book of exceptions do for you? None. Not any whatsoever. He has given you a pattern of how He relates to His people. I mean, it'd be kind of like me driving my Jeep and somebody giving me a Ford F-150 driver and owner's manual for that. It's not going to do me any good for that Jeep. No connection to it, no relationship to it at all. It's the same concept here. Why does God give us a book where He has inspired us and shared with us that He communicates and speaks to His people, but it's not for us. It's not relevant to us. It just doesn't have anything to do with us anymore because He just doesn't do that anymore. The assumption has to be that God has always spoken to His people. And the second assumption is this, that God wants to speak to us, just like He's always spoken with His people. Look, if you will, in Isaiah chapter 50. 50th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my what? He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Now, if you awaken somebody's ear, you're awakening it, he says, to listen, which inherently means someone speaking to you so you can hear. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Looking back over in the Psalms, in the 95th Psalm. This is a psalm that's used every single week in many liturgical churches. They read this passage. In Psalm 95, verse 6. Psalm 95, verse 6. It says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness. Today, if you will hear His voice." We read in the opening passage in Psalm 81, "O Israel, if you would just listen to me." So we start out with the first assumption that God has always spoken to His people. The second assumption we see here that God wants to speak to us, to give us the ear of a disciple, to listen to His voice. And the third assumption is not only that God has spoken to His people, God wants to speak to us, but God will speak to us. He will to you and to me. Jesus talked about this a great deal. Look, if you will, in John chapter 10. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus is talking about the Good Shepherd. And in John chapter 10, verse 2. Notice what he says. "But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep do what? Hear. They hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." They know his voice. Then down in verse 14 of the same chapter, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." Now again, if you've ever looked or studied, especially Middle Eastern shepherding, the way that they lead their sheep is by the sounds that they make. Certain calls, certain things, those sheep are immediately in tune to the voice of the shepherd, and they're not going to follow somebody else trying to imitate that voice. They know distinctly the voice of the shepherd. And the shepherd goes out in front of them and they follow him as he leads them with his voice. As he is speaking and they're hearing, and as response to them speaking, to him speaking, they're following as they hear him. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." We always use that passage as an evangelistic passage, but that has nothing to do with evangelism. He's talking to a church. And he's saying, if you people in there will hear my voice and open the door, open back up to me, I'll come in. We'll have fellowship around the table as friends. We'll commune with each other. But you got to hear my voice, which again denotes that God not only wants to speak to us, he will speak to you and to me. I mean, think about this. Let's say you went to a coffee shop and there's, you know, people that two people in there that you know have been friends for a long, long time. And you say, "What have you guys been talking about?" And they look at you and say, "Oh, nothing." I mean, you've been sitting here for half an hour and you haven't talked about it. No, we're friends though. Been talking about anything. Or to a parent. And talked about to the parent about, you know, what's the last thing you and your child talked about? "Oh, we don't talk. We don't ever talk. I don't ever say anything to them, but they know I love them." Wouldn't you think that's kind of strange? There's no communication going on. The parent's not talking to the child. The child to the parent, there's no communication going on. But yet, the child's supposed to know that the dad loves them. Or that these people are friends, but they don't ever have communication with each other. They don't ever speak. They just go hang out and just stare at each other or just sit. That's not normal. When you have two people in a relationship, there's communication two ways. So God has always spoken to his people. God wants to speak to us as his people. God will speak to us as his people. And in that light, he's given us the spiritual equipment to hear him. He has given us the spiritual equipment to hear him and to tune in to him. Notice, we just read in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, automatically, we make an assumption there that if somebody is able to hear someone speaking, they have what? Ears. Throughout the scripture, how many times did God say, "If any man has ears to hear"? And we know that when God is speaking to us today, we know that very unlikely that we're going to hear an audible voice. That we're going to hear an audible voice like you're hearing my voice right now. And yet he's still saying, "I am speaking to you and my sheep, you will hear my voice." So that denotes that he's given you the spiritual capacity to have spiritual ears, as it were, to hear his voice. But not only has he given you spiritual ears to hear that, he's given you eyes as well to see, to perceive, and to hear what he's saying. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And this is Paul's prayer. He says that, "I pray for you guys regularly there in the church at Ephesus." Because again, he understood how important it was for them to hear God and hear the Lord speak to them. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 15, he says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your," what? Your heart, your understanding, your spiritual perception on the inside, may be enlightened, that they'll be opened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Notice he says, I'm asking God to open your spiritual eyes to perceive your understanding. This whole idea of perception is, again, there's a sense of understanding. But that understanding is coming as God is speaking to you. And what is he speaking to you about? He's speaking to you and revealing to you what the hope of his calling is. What are the riches of the glory of the inheritance that you are and that you have in Christ? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power that's at work in you? He wants to communicate these things to you. So you have been given this spiritual equipment to hear him, to see spiritual things. Now, again, obviously, he's not talking about your physical eyes. Again, he talks about the eyes of your heart, or literally the eyes of your inner man, the real you and me that lives inside this body, the spiritual self. The spirit that leaves when we die. The spirit that carries this body around, that animates itself and expresses itself. The soul that's living in this body. The soul has ears. The soul has eyes. This is where God communicates with us. And if we didn't understand that and didn't know that, he makes this very clear to us because we are now his dwelling place. And it's very important for us to get and grasp and understand what happens in that holy place. So in order to get that, let's go back to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And normally when we think about the tabernacle and we think about the temple and all the holy place, all we really focus on a lot of times is the activity of the priests. We think about the sacrifices. We think about the symbology that is given to us and all of that, the pictures that are painted of Jesus. Obviously, all that stuff is there. But there was one thing that happened in that holy place that the scripture tells us it was vital to the nation of Israel and vital to the people of God. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 1, to 21, it says, after he's given him the description about the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant, he says, you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I will give to you. There I will meet with you, or literally commune with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, I will what? Speak to you about all that I will give you in commandments for the sons of Israel. I'm going to commune with you there, Moses. That is a special place for us to get together and talk. And when you're there, I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to reveal to you about the commandments. I'm going to give you and open up the eyes of your understanding. Your heart will be enlightened to know all that I have for my people. I want to commune with you there. This is what was really going on in that place, especially with Moses. That was it. I am here to commune with you between the wings of the cherubim. Now, with that in mind, jump back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul's talking about sinning and using our bodies as instruments of sin. And he goes down to verse 19 and he says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? The word for temple there that he uses is the exact Greek word that's used for the holy place, or the Holy of Holies, where God did what? Commune with Moses. Your body is that holy place now. What happened in that holy place is there was communication going on. Moses was speaking with God. God was speaking with Moses there. And now you're that. And he is in you. Now, if that wasn't enough to convince us, Jesus goes on and talks about the Holy Spirit being in us and what he does being within us. Look back in John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to them about leaving them and how it's so absolutely important for him to leave, because if I don't leave, the Comforter's not going to come. And the Comforter has got to come. He says in verse 7 of John chapter 16, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Convicting means he's going to enlighten people. He's going to speak to people. He's going to show them something that's going to result in conviction about sin, righteousness, and of judgment. He says concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And notice what Jesus says in verse 12. "I have many more things to what to you? Say to you." I have a whole lot more that I haven't said to you yet. But you can't bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak with his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. He will take of mine, and he will disclose it to you. So put it all together. The Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, God was there to commune with Moses and Moses with God, to speak to Moses all the things that he had for Israel. New Testament, Paul says, now you are the Holy of Holies. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's there within you. He dwells within you. You are now the Ark of the Covenant. This is where God dwells now. And therefore, being in you, the Holy Spirit being in you, Jesus says, he's going to speak to you. He's going to show you what I want for you to know in your life. He's going to disclose things to you. He's going to communicate to you. He's going to give you what I want. I'm going to give him the instruction of what I want you to know, and he's going to speak to you about it, which again implies that you and I have the capacity and the ability and the equipment to hear him. But again, we know that when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we're not going to be hearing audible voices. That's such a rare thing. I'm sure it probably has happened to people. But most of the time, it's not the audible voice. It's the still, small voice within us in which he communicates with us. We are very good at giving God laundry lists. We're very good even about asking God questions, but never waiting for an answer. We just throw it out there and go on about our business. And miss sometimes the very thing that he wants to say to us. Sometimes it is so crucial. And he has a lot of ways in which he communicates within us to speak to us. Sometimes, and we'll see the different ways that he's communicated in the past and how he communicates now. But those different ways, again, we have to begin to learn how to tune into those signals when they're coming. And then respond to them. And follow them. And again, just like we're watching our little granddaughter grow up, and she, and along the way as she's growing, she has learned and has learned how to discern mommy's voice, daddy's voice, pops and mops's voice. She's learning that. Now she's learning to discern commands. She's learning to discern instructions. She's learning how to discern tones when something is no, not good for you. And it's a process of growing, and she's learning as she's growing. And it is no different for us as spiritual beings. We're babes in Christ when we're born into the Spirit, and it is a process of us learning how to discern His voice. Because, folks, there's a lot of voices out there in that realm. There's a lot of voices. I mean, you know throughout the day how many hundreds of thousands of thoughts rush through your head. And in the midst of all of these things coming through, sometimes there's Him speaking. But there's all kinds of other voices out there. The majority of those voices that are racing through our minds do not have our best interest in mind at all. They're out to steal, kill, and to destroy and ruin us. And we're not hearing them audibly, but we're hearing them within. The whispers, the accusings, and all those kinds of things. And we recognize that. And sadly, so many times we are more apt and susceptible to recognize the voice of the enemy than we are the voice of our daddy. And sometimes we're more in tune to what the enemy is saying and respond more quickly, sadly, in obedience to what the enemy says rather than what our Father's saying to us. He wants to speak. Of course, we have to come with an expectation. Will God speak to me? I'm not Moses. I'm not Aaron. I'm not Paul. I'm not Peter. Sometimes, we have put these people up on such pedestals that they're almost, superhuman. They're not. Just like you and me. They're no different at all. Period. Same struggles, same temptations, same kinds of issues that they had to struggle and deal with. Human beings. They learn how to walk with God. Will God speak to me? You must and I must believe that not only does He desire to, but He will speak to us. But we've got to give Him space and time to do that. We've got to give attention to that. Just like Avonlea is learning how to turn and focus on voices and then all of the things that are going on. But then also she can get distracted by other things and she's not paying attention and she misses something. And it's very quick and it's very easy for us to get distracted by other things and not give attention to the voice of the Lord. Remember in Psalm 81, here's the thing. God told His people, He said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. The idea there is open with expectancy. You're expecting to receive something from Him. And the idea there is, the whole context of that is, listen to me. Turn your heart, open your mouth, turn your spiritual ears, and expect to hear me speak to you. And I will. If you'll listen, I will speak. And there is nothing any more exciting in this world than God speaking to you and giving you something. Now, again, He's interested in so many of the minor details of our life that we don't even think He's interested in. But He knows how important some of the building blocks are in those minor details that affect major things later on. He knows that. We don't realize that. And again, sometimes these things come out of the blue. Come out of the blue. And I was just recently, I was outside in the backyard and I was praying and I was just walking around, taking the dog out for the last time during the night. And just this thought just goes flashing through my mind. Read this psalm before you go to bed. I hadn't even thought about it. Okay, so I read it. Opened it up, started reading it, and I just almost started bawling because it was something that I had written down in my journal and asked the Lord about that morning. Specifically. And I just thought, wow. You really did do what you said you would do. Thank you. I needed to hear that. But we have to come out again with this. Our heart's intent is to expect for God to speak to us. And it's not, again, it's a process of learning. It's not like turning the light switch on and off. It's learning how to discern and hear His voice. Those little sheep, when they're coming to the world, just like a baby, They have to learn to discern the shepherd's voice. They have to learn his tones. They have to learn what his signals mean. They learn that as they grow. It's over and over and over. And they're with their parents. They're in the flock. They're following the flock. They're learning as the flock responds to him, what they see what the flock is doing, and they learn too. You and I have very important roles to play in helping other people hear God as well, as we learn how to do it and setting the example for them. So come with it the assumption that God wants to speak to you. He does want to communicate with you, and he has an awful lot he wants to say about a lot of things in your life. He cares about where you take vacation. He cares about when you take it. He cares about how you spend your money. He cares about a lot of things that we've never given him the time to talk with us about, that he wants to speak to us about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to hear, and that you do want to commune with us. You do want to speak with us. Jesus, I pray that you will help each of us have the anticipation building in our heart that you will speak. Give us the experience and the intent and the faith to believe that you will, and give us the ability to learn how to discern your voice and to hear you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.